Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The text this morning comes from the Gospel of John. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, this will show your age, but the song, All You Need Is Love. Okay, just the first line. All you need is love. Okay. Dun, 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 dun. That's the very best part of the whole song. When the Beatles sang that song in the 1960s, for those of us who were around, life was turbulent. There was a war going on. There was a civil rights movement going on. There were rights for women. I mean, it was a very, very turbulent time. It was a cultural revolution. And some were saying, all we need is love, that this simple solution would solve all these complex problems. At that point in history, people really were grappling outwardly about what it meant to love your neighbor. Well, today when we read John's words, we may ask what Jesus did mean in his time and place when he said that we were to love one another. Because the words that we hear in one time and place can have an entirely different meaning in a different context, can't they? If someone says, I hope you're doing well, when you meet them in the grocery store, it is very different than if you are in the hospital room and they come to visit and say, I hope you are doing well. Or you're walking down the street, walking your dog on 32nd, and you say to somebody, how's it going? That's very different than calling up a friend who's lost their job and saying, how's it going? The exact same words, but they carry a very different intensity and purpose. Well, the words of the gospel have a time stamp on them as well. It seems whenever we read any gospel story, there are two simultaneous stories being told. There is the immediate story, the story about the life of Christ, his ministry as recorded by the Gospel of John, as today is, about his earthly ministry. But then there is also the story that is being told by the community that wrote the Gospel of John, and the circumstances in which they wrote it approximately 60 years after the earthly life of Jesus. This was a community that was being split off from the synagogue. It was a very strenuous situation, and they were attempting to write down their own story. Well, when we hear the gospel texts, we need to consider how those exact same words of Christ would sound in those two different contexts. Jesus is preparing the disciples for his departure. He is leaving them with a commandment of love. Imagine how Jesus' words would sound to the disciples as they prepare for the arrest and torture of their beloved leader. And they hear Jesus say, "I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete." How can Christ speak of joy at such a time as this? As he is about to leave them, as he is about to die, he speaks of their joy. And then imagine how these words would sound to a community of believers at the end of the first century who themselves are facing rejection and persecution and possibly even death. They hear Jesus say to them, "I do this because I want you to have my joy in you. I want your joy to be complete." In the profound words of Jesus, "I do not call you servants any longer, but I have called you friends. And I call you friends because I have known and shown you everything that the Father has shown me." Christ is about to leave the disciples, and he is announcing a new understanding of their relationship together. And as he leaves them in their uncertainty, even as they are about to abandon him, he calls them friends because of what he has heard from God. And then all those many years later, the community of John may have heard that they were to remain faithful to Christ, their friend, even in the face of exclusion and the troubles of redefining what it meant to be the body of Christ. And in the face of his impending death, we read, "No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Most of us here will never face anything like that. Some of us here have. Those people who have gone to war have been faced with laying down their very lives. These words that Christ is leaving with his friends, the community of John may hear that they're not only referring to Christ, but to them, that they have a sacrifice as members of the community that they may be asked to lay down their very lives for. But even as we read these simultaneous stories, there is always that third story, isn't there? There is our story. The story as we hear it from Jesus, because we are faced with our own interpretations. We have our own time stamp on everything that Jesus ever taught us. We hear Jesus' ancient words, and we want to believe that all we need is love. But aren't we more skeptical? We know more. We have the whole world and everything that is going on in it in our face daily. So even as we are skeptical, we ask ourselves, what does it mean, all we need is love? Well, what it does not mean, brothers and sisters, is that we can focus on ourselves alone, because then all we need is love may sound too shallow. It is focusing on the love that comes from God through Jesus Christ that we are really talking about. Because then we understand that these words and lessons of Jesus are evidence that a life of faith is expanding and deepening, and it expands and deepens the meaning of his very words as we embrace them today. A love that is expressed by what Jesus heard from God and then learned and shared and passed on to his disciples and to us, so that our joy may be complete, so that we would abide in his love and therefore abide in God's love, and that we would bear fruit that would last, and that we would love each other as God has first loved us. As the heirs of Christ, how do these words inform us? And more importantly, how do they transform us, and how do they transform the world? When we look back over time, the words of Jesus to love one another as God first loved us have inspired millions of people. Each and every community at each and every time has had to grapple what it means to be part of this process, growing into the words of Christ. As we grow into Christ's words in our time and place, we are reminded that the body of Christ is a living organism. A living organism that proclaims that all we need is love, is not just any love. And no matter what we face together in our near future and our far-off future, we have been called friends of Christ. We are part of the great saving story of God's love for this world. And with St. Paul's words, we hear, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And that means even to remember and embrace Christ's words that no one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Each of us, in our time and place, each of us as part of a loving community, must decide what it is that we can lay down, to give up a very part of our lives, to give them up for someone who is sitting right near us. A love that leads to more and just and loving relationships. A love that is genuine and invited, not forced. A love that is motivated by faithfulness rather than fear. A love that counts not as loss, but as gain. A timestamp, our interpretation, our covenant, each moment, it is our time to determine how to live out the love with which we have been graced through Jesus Christ. We continue to write the story of the gospel lesson. So as we end this time together and begin our gathering, we gather with a great humility for the task that is before us. And I would like to leave you with the words with which I started, so that you might determine the prayer for your own life today. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. Amen.